You say when you're ready, Heather, and she'll send us going.
When you're ready, Heather.
Oh, okay. Hello and welcome to the award-winning Ardent Atheist, official podcast of the United Church of Bacon, where reason reigns supreme. Not frogs and fish. Today's episode brought to you by billions of years of evolution. Sitting next to me is my co-host and producer, Heather Henderson.
Hey, everybody.
You know Heather from the Facebooks, on the inner tubes, and from our other hit podcast, Skeptically Yours. You can find links to our guests' websites, join our Twitter and Facebook feeds, subscribe to our premium ad-free 90-minute full-length episodes, and our email at ardentatheist.com.
If you'd like to take part in the live chat moderated by the author of the fabulous blog, Comedy Obscura, Joe Swam, go to ardentatheist.com/live and chat us up right now.
And please go to iTunes. Subscribe to our podcast for free. Write a review. Help us get up there in the top 10 where you've never put us. You may also go to ardentatheist.com/premium and subscribe to our premium ad-free content for a measly $10 per year.
Subscribe now or I kill God.
I think God's already dead.
Exactly. That's what happens when people don't subscribe.
Well, how are you going to kill a non-existent being?
With kindness.
Okay, that makes no sense.
Neither does not subscribing.
Can't argue with that logic.
Thank you. We only have two rules on the show. Rule number one, guests may plug anything they want. We're not hypocrites. Go hypocrites.
Hypocrites?
We're part of the Crips. Go subscribe.
And rule number two, if you're a listener who's ever been offended by anything, get a sledgehammer and destroy your computer now. This show has no restrictions on language or content and certainly has nothing for you, Billy Rothberger.
Who?
Billy Rothberger. He bullied me in sixth grade.
You need to move on, baby.
Yeah, I know. I just need to not hold on to the past. So
with the show. Move on with
the show. Oh, we're coming to you live from E&H Studios in sunny Studio City, California. In the Studio City tonight, we have Kelly Carlin, Paul Provenza, and Shelley Siegel. You know these folks from Showbiz.
And the World of Reason.
Who was the guy who bullied you in high school?
Billy Rothberger.
Billy Rothberger. You should write to thank him because he's driven you.
Completely. Yes.
Your entire life. He's at the root of everything you've ever accomplished.
Yeah, maybe. Probably. Yeah. Him and my uncle. If you know what I'm saying with a loose anus.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Welcome, everybody.
We've already started.
I have Kelly on the show again.
Yeah.
Yes.
This makes me so happy.
Aww.
I love Kelly Carlin. Who doesn't love Kelly Carlin?
Kelly makes every room better.
You're damn right.
There's a couple of trolls that, you know.
I can't even believe that.
I don't get a lot.
Can we hear those tweets?
I don't get a lot. I'm very, very, very grateful for not getting a lot. But
you know what's wonderful about your trolls?
Yeah.
Your other followers beat them to a bloody pulp.
They do. Yeah.
It's really funny to watch.
I have a legion behind me.
You do.
I'm like kind of like, I think like one of those Game of Thrones ladies, you know?
Yeah.
They're just Carlin fans, though, you know?
Yeah.
And I can just go, unleash the Carlin fans.
Well, you're so full of love, and everything you do is so much about, you know, positivity, and not in a goofy, not in an HIV way.
Not in just Daisy's way.
There's
really,
substance to Kelly Carlin.
It's really cynical when somebody is being a...
Yes.
I don't know that I've ever witnessed it. I would jump on board with the attack as well. I'd be one of the lions.
I just see them as deeply, deeply wounded humans.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah. God, who can attack Kelly? So, listen, we put this show together because we are all going to Reason Rally.
Yeah, yay! Baby. Yeah.
Can't wait. Very excited.
You will be there, right,
yeah,
Shelly?
I'll be.
And Kelly, we have Shelly and Kelly who are going to be there.
Yes.
And Polly, you'll be there.
I hope you're teaming up because that's a great marketable name.
It is.
You're damn right.
Is. We're going to work on our dance routine.
So much better than Shields and Yarnell. And they're big.
Shelly and Kelly.
Shelly and Kelly can move places.
The only reason I thought of that joke. Billy Rothberger. Thanks, Billy. Thank you.
Once again.
Man, has anyone ever run into the old bully ever? Have you dealt with that before?
Yes, you know about my bully story.
I know your story. It's a great story.
Can we hear it?
No, it's stupid. But no, her story's great. Tell the story, Heather.
Okay, I've already told the story before, so I'll make it quick. In elementary school, I was bullied by this kid who called me a zebra. This is the first time I ever... had any kind of interaction with someone who was racist. I didn't know what racism was. I just thought everybody was different, and that's just the end of the story. So he tortured me for 4 years, called me a zebra, among other things, and then finally, you know, got away from that, moved here. He found me on Facebook, and I called him out. Well, actually, rewind. I found out later that he was biracial. And
so it was self-hatred.
So, yeah, pretty much.
Did he know at the time?
Yeah.
I don't know, but I found out he was biracial.
Wow. That's like me calling you a dirty quarter Jew.
Yeah. What? So anyway, he found me on Facebook, and
you
I
know
was
the
like,
thing that perked her up was quarter.
Damn, who was your Billy Rothberger, Paul?
Well, I want to hear the rest of your story.
And so he asked to be my friend, and I was like, I'm not going to be your friend. And he came on a thread because my Facebook is open. And I called him out in front of everybody on Facebook, and I said, you're an asshole. You did this to me, and you did that to me. And he kept making excuses, and finally, like after a long time of me berating him, he said, I'm sorry.
Ah,
I was a kid. I was stupid. I'm like, no excuse. Now
what
we
took
can
him so long?
Now we
what
can
took him
friends?
So long? I think you'd apologize. Anything that happens from any bullshit you're getting from, like, you know, when we were in school, the first thing you should say is, "I was an idiot. I was a kid. I was an idiot."
Yeah.
What took him so long?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I'm sitting in front of Facebook one day, and up pops a friend request, and I recognize the name instantly. It's not Billy Rothberger. It's a different.
You had a lot of
to
bullies.
Be clear, I got the shit kicked out of me. Like,
you know what? You,
so I was
sweetie.
A little. Yeah, I was a little punk.
I would have.
Did you
I
deserve
picked
it?
On you too.
I didn't. I really didn't deserve it. I stood out. I was the classic class clown.
Oh, you were.
Yeah, Mrs. Emery, you need to come down here. Mm. We can't get Emery off the roof of the school. That was me, and I'm sitting there, and this.
Nowadays, you'd have had a rifle.
Yeah, I would have had a rifle.
Already
right.
killed five people.
Shit, my stepdad at the time loaded his own bullets. I should have had a rifle then. Whoa. I'm so slow to anyway. So I'm really like almost locked in this weird. It's not fear. It's just it's really just a mix of emotions that are washing over me. Mm. And I sat there. I was with Lainey at the time, and I said, "A bully just asked me to be friends on Facebook," and she's like, "Are you all right?" I'm like. I'm fine. I don't know what to do. And it took me a good 30 or 40 minutes to go, you're in your fucking 40s at the time.
Yeah.
You're in your 40s. Click. Welcome. Come on in.
But isn't it interesting
it
how it's like a time machine for us
yes.
with our the whatever little trauma that is?
Yeah,
that
I guess.
Your brain, it is.
Yeah.
And they've found that
you
it's
have
like,
the emotional experience
yes.
that you would have had when you were 12.
And you do.
It's
it.
Wild,
your mind
right?
goes back in time, however many decades, and you are there.
What
yeah. You're having
me,
a somatic experience from when you're like 10 years old.
What kills me is when the bullies, because I have another bully who was on Facebook who I was in contact with, it kills me how they're just like, chill.
Yeah.
You know, like, they're not really fucking sorry. You
yeah.
know, some of them, you're just like, I can't believe you're still upset about that. I'm like, what the fuck?
In other words, Heather bullied the shit out of Zebra
Boy. Well,
that's
what I was going to say is that it's a little bit ironic that you guys are now bullying theists.
Right. That's exactly right. We are. We are. We will bully. I don't know. That's not true. I'm not going to accept that. That's I reject that premise.
I'm just taking out my past life on them.
Yeah, exactly. Here, I love this story though. I said, "Yeah, let's be friends." He's still living in Kansas City, so.
So yeah.
So
who
is
won
mine.
That one?
So is mine. Mine's
still
living
in Camden.
In Camden
did he
New
bring
Jersey?
It up with you? Was he like,
I brought
I
it up with
connect.
Him, and I didn't go after him. I really calmed myself, you know, and I was like,
mm-hmm.
I don't need to do that. I don't need to make him feel like shit. And I talked
so
a
you're
lot.
You're better than me.
I talked a lot about it with Lainey, and I got in the right headspace, and I said, hey, what's up? And we talked a little, and I said, do you remember locking me in a in a locker? He put me in a locker and locked it.
But I think it's important that the people,
and
that your
two,
listeners yeah. know that you,
at the time,
you were like 4 foot.
I still am. I'm 5'1". I'm 5'1". No, yeah, I was a little kid. I was really the littlest kid, really tiny, skinny.
Horrible,
and he
know?
Shoved me in one of those tall, thin lockers uh-huh. and locked it, ugh. And it took at least 15 or 20 minutes to get me out of there. And
so you know what John McCain felt like.
Well, let me tell you something. Pretty funny. I wasn't looking up, so that at least it wasn't that bad, right? With rain falling into my eyes. But here's the other thing. He also hung me on a hook. By my by the
movie.
Back of my coat.
I got to meet this guy. He's hilarious.
It was really weird.
You did the like typical bullying.
I know.
Movie.
I feel like I'm watching like some
no,
get a wedgie.
Hey, that's not
movie.
For the record.
Right?
That's not typical bullying. That's television and film bullying.
Yes,
yeah.
That's
yeah.
what I'm thinking. Yeah.
And both of them. And I said, "Do you remember doing that?" And he goes, "I don't remember that. I'm really sorry, man. I don't remember that."
How can you forget doing something like
because
that?
Because they're like in a weird dissociative state probably when they're doing it or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
It didn't mean as much to them as it did to Emery.
I know.
Clearly.
Right. And yeah. I got to know him, and then I went to Kansas City to work on a film, and I hung out with him, and I find out he's an atheist. And he took me around to the atheist gatherings and introduced me as his friend.
And now you're pals.
I know. I'm picturing like a big heart, like I Love Lucy heart now, like both of your faces in it.
It's funny you're doing that because I'm picturing Ren and Stimpy, the ending of a Ren and Stimpy with the heart, which is just a stolen from
it's
that.
Fine,
it turns
yeah.
out you guys met cute.
We did. So it was, I'm glad that I said hi to him. It was great. So
it's a love story.
Yeah. It's nice to let those things go.
Yeah, you got to let that
shit go. Sure, it's nice, isn't it? It's nice when you can do that.
Breathe, Heather.
Oh, she's still a little hot about this.
Breathe, Heather.
Well, you know.
I'm still angry. Breathe. I'm still angry.
Well, I got news for you. You're still a zebra.
Oh. Yeah.
It's not her fault. She's half-bred for anger.
I never thought a zebra was a bad word, and I couldn't understand why it was.
I think zebra's a cool thing.
Yeah.
I love zebras.
I would embrace that big time.
Yeah.
Well, she went home, and this is a great story, too. She went home and told her mom, Mom, what's a zebra? And her mom was like, what do you call you? That's wrong. So she had to be taught to be offended, which I think is awesome, which is true generally.
Yes,
I mean, generally, we're
sure.
trained into those behaviors
our
and
prejudices
problems.
And our reactions to it. Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's a cultural phenomenon.
And I blame the blacks. So.
Don't you wish you had a safe space?
I do.
You do now.
Yeah.
It's right here.
It's inside.
Yeah.
And now I sniff a lot of glue to get over it.
So what are you planning on doing? Are you just going to be there, or are you actually going to be on the stage, Kelly?
I get to stand where Martin Luther King stood.
Oh, yep. My God.
Close enough to it.
And the similarities don't end there.
And say something like, I have a dream that every human on Earth is the most reasonable thing in the world. I don't know what I'm going to say yet, but... Mm-hmm. I want to, my big thing, I mean, there's a ton of things, but I mean, I want to talk a little bit about climate science and just the insanity of the denial of all of that.
Yeah.
So I want to, you know, and they want us to also like not only be inspiring, but to have some sort of call to action or something. So,
right.
You know, I was just in Vancouver at the Imagine No Religion 6 conference, and there was a great NASA climate scientist. And he talked about the importance of telling the story of the Earth and telling the story and asking people, you know, we get to finish the story the next 50 to 100 years. We get to write the ending to this climate change story. Mm-hmm. And so I want to do something around that. So I'm excited.
So the guy you met, he's in the 98th percentile of climate scientists?
Yes.
You think there's okay.
Yeah. He works for NASA. And
got it.
He's
not one of the 2 percenters?
No. He does all the modeling. He talked a lot about computational modeling as, you know, in science, there's theory and then there's experimentation and then there's modeling. And that he was talking about it to help us kind of learn to language how to talk to people about the importance of modeling and how accurate it actually is, even though they're using computers to simulate the future.
Right.
So he was great.
Right.
Yeah.
Computational modeling. I was a computational model for many years. So I started in show business.
You have the legs for it.
I had fantastic computationals.
Until I fell off the computational runway. So when you talk to people who are anti-logical,
yes,
if I may, The argument that I get even from people I kind of know, and I try not to, is that science constantly gets things wrong when it makes predictions of this kind.
Mm-hmm.
That's the argument you always hear. And I don't know how to counter that, or if I should, maybe I shouldn't, I don't know. But I'm a little lost when it goes to that place, because I know that there's truth in that. I know that Al Gore made some very specific claims about what was going to happen with the hockey stick,
right?
And I don't know that that's accurate. And I don't. And by the way, I want to say out loud right now, I don't think that means that there isn't a problem. I know there's a fucking problem. I'm convinced of it without question.
Yeah.
So I'm talking about the discussion here.
Yeah. This guy was great because he kind of showed everything from lots of different data points. Like, let's say it's just natural. Let's say it's just this. Let's say it's just that. And then, let's talk about the carbon emissions. And when you add all of it up together, it was like this, you know, this clear picture
right.
of what's going on. And that the time it started, when it really started to change, is a clear picture of when man was pumping shit into the atmosphere.
Right.
I think, I'm not a scientist. I don't hang out with these people. I don't have great arguments.
They're boring generally, right?
I'm like you. No, they're fascinating, but I'm like you. I don't have a lot to like, I got to how to back up that kind of stuff. I just, you know, it's like, I'm sorry, but the amount of data that shows that it is, I mean, I think it's wishful thinking. I think people are terrified or want, I don't know what it is. I bang my head up against a wall a lot.
Right.
You know, where I stand on this issue is just basically, it's just like, regardless of all the science, we're just slobs. We're just slobs. Like, why are we just so filthy? Well, yeah. like, let's just not be that filthy. No bad could come of us being filthy.
A little neater.
It's more expensive because we didn't start out thinking that forward.
Yeah.
You know, so now it's going to get more expensive to be cleaner.
Yeah, but you know.
In the short term.
And not. I think that's also kind of a bullshit argument that people throw out. Like they're showing that in a lot of ways it's cheaper and easier. And it's just people don't want to change. Industry certainly doesn't want to change. You know, that's part of it.
All right. We'll be right back after this. Thanks for that. I like learning. You're listening to Ardent Atheist, ardentatheist.com. And available at the iTunes Store. More after this unavoidable interruption.
We've had a lot of people ask us about the comedy sketch clips that we play from the Vile comedy album, Chaos Radio, so we are making it available to you. You can buy your favorite tracks from the 23-track record individually for $1, or you can buy the entire recording for $18. Go to gumroad.com/Emery Emery. That's G-U-M as in muff flaps. ROAD.com/Emery Emery and buy the damn thing.
Nobody's ever going to find the website when you keep doing that. A fool and his money are soon elected.
Foundation Beyond Belief is a community of compassionate humanists and atheists supporting outstanding charities worldwide. Members sign up for automatic donations starting at $5 a month, then distribute those funds however they wish among the featured charities. To date, this unique humanist organization has raised over $750,000 to make this world a better, more humane place. We don't look to the skies for a better world. Foundation Beyond Belief is humanity at work. Learn more or join us at foundationbeyondbelief.org.
Hi, I'm David Diskin, and I wanted to tell you about Camp Quest West. We're a secular summer camp for non-religious families, and our week-long program for kids runs this summer in locations in California and over a dozen others throughout the U.S. At Camp Quest, we give kids the traditional camp experience, like archery, swimming, arts and crafts, and campfire songs. But we add science, skepticism, humanism, and critical thinking. There's a few spots left for parents who want to register their kids, but we're also asking for your help. We turn every donation into camperships for families that can't afford to send their children to camp. We're 100% volunteer-based, a tax-exempt 501c3, and our amazing financial aid program is supported by the free thought and skeptic community by people like you. I want to see how much Emery and Heather's fans can raise for Camp Quest West. Visit tinyurl.com/ardentcampquest or look for the link on their Facebook page. You can learn more about our California camps and the others throughout the U.S. by visiting campquest.org.
Hey, kids, remember the good old days of simple, wholesome fun? Back when you could watch cartoons on Saturday morning? Remember watching Mr. Peabody and Sherman use their Wayback Machine to visit the realms of ancient history? And remember how disappointing it was that they didn't fuck anybody? Didn't you want to see Mr. Peabody get his hot little doggy holes stuffed by Zebulon Pike or Galileo? Well, now you can. Only instead of a dog and an underage boy, it's two hot sorority chicks using a time machine to screw their way through history. Time Bangers is a hot new series of erotic time travel novels set for full release on July 28th. For more details, check out www.timebangers.com. You'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll come. Time Bangers, available where Time Bangers is available right now.
If you don't,
you can go to Amazon and you can get Time Bangers now.
If you don't produce,
stop saying
that
it.
As like
no, you have to stop. You have to stop. Right. You have to stop because that is a really good idea, and we're not going to give it away. Because Hollywood listens to my fucking show sometimes.
And Hollywood is a bad mother.
You're damn right.
Shut your mouth.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I didn't even say it. Welcome back. This is Ardent Atheist Nonsense You Can Believe In. We're talking with Kelly Carlin, Paul Provenza, and Shelley Siegel. Thanks for being here, folks.
Thanks for
it's a pleasure. I'm so excited that we're all going to DC.
All of us.
I know this is fun. Great. It's going to be a really good party.
You know, that's the thing about the Reason Rally, folks. If anybody here is thinking of going, sort of on the fence, whatever, just come. The great thing about it is it's a party.
Yeah.
It's not a protest.
No.
There's no legislation anybody's trying to get passed. Nobody cares about anything. We're really just, it's just a cool get together with amazing talent on stage. Yeah. And I was fortunate enough to be at the first one. I was hosting the first one.
2012,
right.
Someone wrote me an email, on one of the shows. I was talking about Reason Rally, and I couldn't remember if it was 2 or 3 years ago. And then he wrote me and said, "Hey, asshole, it's every 4 years."
Like, well, it's not every 4 years.
Reason Rally.
This really was not, it wasn't planned. The first one was a one-off, and it was just a crazy idea that's, David Silverman and a few other people put together. And it was never intended to be an ongoing thing, but there was so much interest after the fact, and it sort of gained legend status, that they decided to go for it and do another one.
Who's hosting my section? Who's going to introduce me?
Who?
John Davidson.
Oh yes,
son of a bitch,
John Davidson.
He just came out.
I know.
Why did he came out?
As a secularist.
Oh nice.
In an op-ed.
He came out as a pretty boy years ago.
Yes, we know that. Uh-huh. Yeah. San Francisco paper, Chronicle. He wrote an op-ed about why he's a secularist.
That's fantastic.
And he's hosting. And I'm so excited. I haven't seen him in 50
about?
Years.
You know what
50
I'm
years.
Most excited about? He gave me my first TV talk show appearance ever.
And he gave my dad a huge break. We moved out here because of Kraft Summer Music Hall.
Kraft Summer Music Hall.
Now, a lot of people don't know Kelly Carlin's dad. I want to clear this up. It's Richard Pryor.
Yes.
Richard Pryor, for you listening or not.
Shelley Berman, but.
Kelly and Shelley.
Yeah. So George Carlin, first appearance, both of you guys. That's amazing.
Yeah, John Davidson had a summer replacement show called Kraft Summer Music Hall. It was Jackie Gleason's summer replacement show. It was a variety show. My dad was hired to be the head stand-up resident comedy writer. And there's pictures and clips of him, like, having to wear the
goofy
cheesiest
sketch stuff
yeah. and sing-alongs with everyone else in the cast. And I have a clip of my dad and Richard Pryor. Richard looks 12 years old. My dad looks about 17. And they are singing some sort of Mexican folk song with sombreros on.
Wow.
1966.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awful and wonderful.
It is. It is all those things.
Gotta see that.
Yeah.
Wow, that's great.
And Johnny Depp's going to be there.
Yes.
Johnny Depp is going to speak and
rumor
present,
has it.
If he's okay after his divorce, which was announced today.
What?
His wife filed for divorce today.
Because they're both speaking.
I don't know who's going to get custody of the bracelets, but that's going to be an ugly fight.
I didn't even know he was married.
Or the dogs. It was a huge
that's
story
right.
in Australia.
That's right, he's trying to smuggle in the dogs.
Tried to bring his dogs.
Yeah,
in.
That was pretty great.
I heard about that.
It was all over
Why
the
are you
news.
Guys such like dicks about dogs?
Well, because we're an island. We have like such a. We have
Everyone's an island.
Every
I wish.
Man is an island.
so we have stricter rules. And
so tell the story so that.
They have this rule because of the rabbits.
The
law exists because rabbits overran your country, right?
I'm not sure that's why they
Is that when
they exist,
St. Patrick
but
showed
one,
up?
One farmer from England brought 24 rabbits over,
that's
and
it.
Now we have 300 million.
Yes. Yes.
To the extent that we had to build a fence across the country to keep them out, whereas you guys build fences to keep Mexicans out.
So Mexicans are rabbits.
Yeah.
In other words.
Well,
the reproduction
pretty much
rate
the same.
Is insane. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Lovely, Emily. Just
we had the
lovely.
Same bully.
Rarely.
So Johnny Depp and his wife came to Australia, and they're on a private jet, and so they didn't have to go through the regular customs, and they snuck their dogs in. And I can't remember the Premier of New South Wales said, if you don't take them out, then we're going to put them down.
Ooh.
And they recently had to give
a public apology
for
it. Oh
they
God.
Looked like
the
they
apology
were
is like an ISIS video.
I've never seen someone look in so much agony when they're apologizing. They will tell you to leave if you.
Australia is a wonderful country.
Yeah,
everything should be done to keep it that way.
Yeah. Well, we don't have rabies.
Yeah, I know.
Have you seen the video that Johnny Depp and his wife Amber Heard made to placate the Australian government? If you're not familiar with the story, Amber Heard was charged last summer for illegally bringing two Yorkshire Terriers, Pistol and Boo, their pets, into Australia, where Johnny was shooting the next Pirates of the Caribbean movie. I guess you're supposed to put your dogs in quarantine when you go to Australia, but she didn't. And so the Deputy Prime Minister decided to get some attention for himself by charging her with a number of crimes and going on TV threatening to euthanize the dogs.
Oh, God.
So that was back in September. And today, this video, which apparently was part of the plea deal, was released.
Australia is a wonderful island. with a treasure trove of unique plants, animals, and people.
It has to be protected.
Australia is free of many pests and diseases that are commonplace around the world.
They look upset.
That is why Australia has to have such strong biosecurity laws.
And Australians are just as unique, both warm and direct.
This is uncomfortable to watch.
Yeah.
So there it is.
Wow.
You should actually see how they finish it off.
Oh, you've seen this? Here we go.
Well, let's run the rest of it through a Snapchat filter and see if it's better that way.
And you disrespect Australia.
I'm really sorry that protecting Australia is important.
Declare everything.
Thanks for watching. If you liked that,
wow. Oh, that was on Jimmy Kimmel Live. Go look it up. It's hilarious.
Yeah, check it out. Wow. That's really funny.
So
I'm addicted to those goddamn filters.
So I'm hoping I get to introduce
him. I was going
to
say
and I get to do some.
I guess I won't be bringing up the dogs.
Yeah. I'm planting my flag in that one.
I will give you the territory.
You go with the divorce. I'll go with the dogs.
Okay. We'll be besties.
But man, that the first one was so exciting and invigorating.
And it was raining.
It was pouring rain. There were about 30,000 people there in the pouring rain. I mean, it didn't let
Woodstock.
Up for a second.
And there's forecasting rain next weekend too. Just let me shut
Oh, really?
No.
That's why they pushed it
thunderstorm.
Back.
Are they really? If this happens again, you realize.
But that's like 10 days out. They can't really forecast 10
I
days out.
I am packing my rubbers.
Yes.
Let's do some computational
wellies.
Modeling.
I'm
going to
pack
this.
My wellies.
I was bringing rubbers anyway. I don't know what you're talking about. It's a fucking party.
It was an unbelievable experience. I was standing backstage with Tim Minchin and Eddie Izzard and a bunch of the organizers and everything. And we were all just blown away by how the rain, it was irrelevant. It was like it wasn't even there. Yeah. And the energy.
Woodstock.
So much, there was just so much love and so much like, you know.
Solidarity.
Really it was solidarity, but also just a celebration. Just like, we're all the same, it's like for a lot of people that came to the Reason Rally, it was like the only place that they could really be celebratory about being free thinkers. Mm-hmm. I mean, I met a lot of people there, particularly from certain areas of the South where like they can't be out at work or they get fired and all that sort of stuff. And it was like a dog's being let loose in the dog run for the first time where they could just run with other dogs.
That's
there was
so,
so much happiness and joy. And it was just great. So I'm really, really psyched about this one. And if anybody's on the fence or thinking about going, doesn't know if they should, absolutely come. It's a blast.
Come potty with us. Come potty.
Yeah. I'm really excited. I was really bummed out that I couldn't be there last year. I was there in technical because
that's right.
Penn hired me to fly out to Vegas and shoot a video that they presented there. And so I got to be part of it in that
way. Yeah, there's going to be some cool roll-ins, too. I did one with Lewis Black.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh,
really funny,
cool.
Weird, cool roll-ins happening, yeah.
And Penn will be there.
And Penn's going to be there,
And Margaret Cho.
Yes, Margaret Cho. Cho's coming.
If you're listening now, don't miss next Wednesday's show because Paul Provenza will be back at that microphone and Margaret Cho will be sitting here.
Oh, excellent. Good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Fun.
So,
And we will also have Brian Dunning.
And who else? Julia Sweeney's going to be
coming.
There.
Oh, yay. Annabelle Gurwitch.
Julia's in LA,
Liz Winstead.
Right?
Liz Winstead.
I love Liz.
And the Wu-Tang Clan.
And by the way, Annabelle Gurwitch called me and said, are you bringing a camera? So I'm going to bring one of these cameras, maybe two. And I'm doing interviews for her.
And she's dedicating her time. She's interviewing a guy from the military who was not allowed to have some sort of benefits or something because he's an atheist.
Oh, my goodness.
It's, it's an amazing story.
Now, let's
story.
Clear this up.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, I did some lobbying about that when for the first rally in 2012, and I think they're also doing it this year for a day or two leading up to the rally. They're also doing some meetings
they
with
are
Congress
Friday
people
they're
and,
lobbying
and senators.
Some people,
And so I did some of that lobbying, and the thing that I was most interested in was how because the military doesn't have the budget for this, if you need psychiatric counseling, they send you to a chaplain.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's like a big deal. Right. You know? It's a huge deal.
Right.
And I was talking with various Congress people about this, and nobody knew about any of that.
Right.
They had no clue.
Of course
not. And it was so fascinating to see. So that's sort of part of what the Reason Rally is about also, is to remind lawmakers that there's a constituency here.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's getting bigger.
And it's getting bigger and bigger
and louder.
More and more vocal. And, of course, it happens to be a constituency that's like kittens in a box.
Right.
You can't really get anybody to
it's
agree
like
on it.
That's the problem.
Not real joiners.
No.
You know?
None
the fact is that
joiners.
Constituency is both getting bigger and smarter, and that is a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a real problem.
And I think there's a lot of people in the closet. You know, there's people who are, who like, for myself, you know, like when I was first approached 7 or 8 years ago by this community, the word atheist was, I mean, I've never sought out this community because I never had a reaction to religion in any way.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the community claimed my dad in a big way. And of course my dad was an agnostic in the end, but I didn't know how to be in this community because I have other communities I'm a part of. And yet this
week...
By
the way, you know what Martin Mull says is the definition of agnostic?
What?
An atheist in their late 60s.
Yeah. Totally.
Right?
For sure.
Did George call himself... finish that.
But so this weekend, though, I understood that there's, in this community, in the secular humanist community, atheist, whatever you want to call it, you can call yourself whatever you want, free thinker. You don't have to call yourself an atheist if it's uncomfortable, but it's like abortion. We should be using the word more anyway.
Mm.
And but there's a wide highway in this community.
Yeah.
And I mean, this Sunday when I was up at the conference, I talked about my Zen Buddhist practice and my depth psychology and all this kind of stuff, and I got this, you know, rousing standing ovation from this crowd because I was talking about things that, you know, has nothing to do with God or anything like that. It has to do with finding meaning.
Right.
And I've always been afraid to kind of talk about that stuff in this community because I thought people would roll their eyes because I actually use the word transcendent sometimes. And so, but I found that this is a huge community that is, first of all, the kindest, most compassionate people I've ever hung out with in my life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that they are all open-minded and want to have really amazing, deep conversations about everything.
You know, the fascinating thing about it is that the in this community, politically, it's all over the map. It is it's the
liberal,
entire gamut.
Libertarian, green,
that's
everywhere.
Not a lot of conservative, but libertarian, I think, is the most right.
Well,
goes.
Libertarians are our conservatives, actually.
Yeah, I guess
when you
you're
break
right.
It down.
I guess you're right, yeah.
Well, now we get into semantics.
Well, I do. I mean, well, to me, libertarian is conservative. Libertarian is conservative without religion. I mean, in my mind.
I guess it is.
Nah,
it's like zero
really
government
yeah.
intervention. That's
well,
what
yeah.
I mean.
Because socially, I know it's much. I'm oversimplifying.
Liberal.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's really
exactly.
hard.
No, it's hard.
You know, because you're talking about a circle, not points on a line.
Right.
You know?
True.
But the point being that politically it's all over the map. I mean, you know, there are people who are extreme right wing. There are people who are extreme left wing, progressive.
But we all come together.
But yeah, but they all agree on the fact that, well, you know, religion shouldn't be driving public policy.
Yep.
And superstition shouldn't be replacing science in
right.
schools. And everybody should have the same rights. I mean, you know, if somebody doesn't believe in a God, they should be allowed to become president or
right.
whatever.
Free from
you know.
Religion is as important as freedom
right,
of
right, right. And so that's fascinating in terms of, as a comedian, that's a really fun audience to play. You know, I used to do those shows, the Satiristas live shows at the Amazing Media for like 5-6 years in a row. And that's really fun because... As I say, politically, they run the spectrum. So finding out what's really going to be provocative was always really, really
right.
interesting.
Right.
Yeah.
And so we brought Doug Stanhope on 1 year. And his opening line was classic. He looked at the crowd at the Amazing Meeting and said, hey, congratulations on your graduation from Comic-Con.
All right, we'll be right back. I want to hear more. And then... Okay, you're listening to Ardent Atheist at ardentatheist.com and available at the iTunes Store. More after this insufferable disruption.
Good news, everyone.
That's right, Stolen Voice. We have a premium ad-free service. We already give the free hour of entertainment, but the premium service will allow you to subscribe to the full 90-minute show. It's only $10 per year. We also have another option, and that's the Donate More If You'd Like button. If you want to give us more money, we'll give away some subscriptions to the needy. We actually do this. Send me an email if you're a broke bastard. So, be generous. Support the show if you can afford it. Please go to ardentatheist.com/premium and subscribe. Why wasn't George Washington punished when he chopped down the cherry tree?
Because he still had a fucking axe in his hand?
That's funnier than the joke I was going to do.
Foundation Beyond Belief is a community of compassionate humanists and atheists supporting outstanding charities worldwide. Members sign up for automatic donations starting at $5 a month, then distribute those funds however they wish among the featured charities. To date, this unique humanist organization has raised over $750,000 to make this world a better, more humane place. We don't look to the skies for a better world. Foundation Beyond Belief is humanity at work. Learn more or join us at foundationbeyondbelief.org.
Hi, I'm David Diskin, and I wanted to tell you about Camp Quest West. We're a secular summer camp for non-religious families, and our week-long program for kids runs this summer in locations in California and over a dozen others throughout the U.S. At Camp Quest, we give kids the traditional camp experience, like archery, swimming, arts and crafts, and campfire songs, but we add science, skepticism, humanism, and critical thinking. There's a few spots left for parents who want to register their kids, but we're also asking for your help. We turn every donation into camperships for families that can't afford to send their children to camp. We're 100% volunteer-based, a tax-exempt 501c3, and our amazing financial aid program is supported by the free thought and skeptic community by people like you. I want to see how much Emery and Heather's fans can raise for Camp Quest West. Visit tinyurl.com/ardentcampquest or look for the link on their Facebook page. You can learn more about our California camps and the others throughout the U.S. by visiting campquest.org.
Hey, kids, remember the good old days of simple, wholesome fun? Back when you could watch cartoons on Saturday morning? Remember watching Mr. Peabody and Sherman use their Wayback Machine to visit the realms of ancient history? And remember how disappointing it was that they didn't fuck anybody? Didn't you want to see Mr. Peabody get his hot little doggy holes stuffed by Zebulon Pike or Galileo? Well, now you can. Only instead of a dog and an underage boy, it's two hot sorority chicks using a time machine to screw their way through history. Time Bangers is a hot new series of erotic time travel novels set for full release on July 28th. For more details, check out www.timebangers.com. You'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll come.
And now back to Ardent Atheist Nonsense. You can believe him. We're talking with Kelly Carlin, Paul Prevenza, and Shelley Siegel.
Shelley, you came all the way from Australia. Melbourne,
sure did,
yeah?
Yesterday.
Must be weird coming from Australia because pretty much everybody in Australia is non-religious. I mean, they may not...
I think that's the impression that we give.
Is that not true?
The culture is a lot more secular in nature. Like, nobody finishes any speeches with God bless Australia.
Right.
Which is really nice.
But
we had a...
Christianity is growing there.
Christianity
it's
is growing, but
radical,
it's always been there, and it's. I think the problem is because it's considered fringe by the majority of the population that these powerful, well-funded lobby groups get a lot of things kind of covertly passed. Mm.
So they're having impact. The religious right in Australia is
absolutely,
actually having
absolutely.
Impact.
Our Prime Minister in 2007, John Howard, was again covertly quite religious. Didn't really talk about any speeches, but brought through a lot of policies that were problematic from a secularist perspective.
Brought them in under the wire.
For example, the National School Chaplaincy Program, which I think I've spoken about on the school, the show before, where they allowed government schools to bring chaplains. They provided funding for chaplains to be on campus at government schools. And a lot of the schools would opt for this program, and they would get rid of their paid counselors, their trained counselors.
Exactly what happened in the military.
And replace them, with chaplains. And
that's
when the program was introduced initially, it stated that you weren't allowed to go for a secular chaplain. You had to go for a religious chaplain until you'd exhausted all available options. Then you could.
Do you have in Australia a church-state?
Separation
well,
in the Constitution.
Codified
in we
way?
Do in our Constitution. It's worded in a very similar way to here, but it's expressed differently. I think it's more about keeping the state out of the church,
which is very British.
Yeah,
that's what they did.
Well, yeah, because that was, you know, that's why everyone came to America, was to get the state out of their own religion.
Right.
I mean, they weren't initially.
Britain is, they have a state religion.
Yes.
Well, you know, it just so happens but that they keep the C of E but is a lot them. Like being a member of the Church of England is like being a member of AAA. Like, you don't have to go to any meetings.
Right, right.
Well, they don't really care.
So true.
You know? My British friends are always telling me what you're talking about, that by having they separated them. There's a religion that's supposed to be the state religion, but it's separate completely from the government.
Yes.
And by doing that, they maintained a separation. That was what I meant. They're maintaining a separation. That's what it's meant
it's
to
so
do, right?
Interesting.
In Australia.
Well, our head of the country is also the Queen and the head of the church. But
they got a lady in charge.
No, cross-dresser.
What?
So.
But we have. A lot of pretty backwards legislation. Abortion is not completely decriminalized in a few states.
But in a few other states, it's mandatory. Australia's a really kooky
place.
Nah.
Wow. Yeah.
Just to keep the rabies
harsh.
Out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Place is originally a penis colony.
We don't have marriage equality.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Hopefully
to me, because
yeah.
you're very...
marriage equality in no states.
But is that religious-based?
I think so.
It must be, right? Why what other argument would there be? But it's interesting, because you were very progressive, Australia, on gay rights.
Not really. I mean, it was illegal to be gay in one of our states in Tasmania until 1995.
Yeah, well, Tasmania.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's got the devil in it.
Yeah, yeah.
Tasmania is like the Alabama of Australia.
Everyone's got to have their own Alabama.
Yeah, I feel like we
my own private Alabama.
We give this impression to you guys, particularly, of being, you know, really progressive and really liberal, and it's just not the case. We have our south, which is our north.
Uh-huh. Well, because you are upside
about
down.
The warmer climb.
Like Britain, yes.
And you know, we have there's the Anti-Discrimination Act, but if you're a religious organization, you can have an automatic exemption. So if you're...
That's just like here.
If you're a single mother working at a Catholic school and you get pregnant, or they find out that you're, you know, living with a partner, you can be fired. You can be fired for being gay.
So all you have to do to be exactly like us is drop the speech impediment.
Yeah. So we can't understand a damn word you're saying.
Well,
our churches there are still untaxed, yeah?
Yep.
Same as here?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
This is weird. You coming here is almost like you're an atheist missionary. It's kind of cool.
I've got to make up for Ken Ham.
I beer converting people to reality.
Way to go to blur those lines more, Emery.
I so love that, converting people to reality. Oh, that's a great line.
Pretty pompous way to put it.
It's funny when I talk about these things in Australia, a lot of people don't understand the need for it. I did an interview with the religious affairs reporter at one of the big papers in our state, and he's like, you know, these crazy evangelist, extremist, atheist activists who have a problem with the school chaplaincy program, like I was talking about before.
Yeah.
And it's because there's this perception of a secular culture. But actually, as I said, there's a lot of laws legislation getting passed in favor of the religious lobbies, and also in these small pockets of religious communities. There's huge problems, there's huge discriminations going on, and the government isn't able to intervene or stop them. In religious schools have so much power, they still receive funding from the government, but they're not obliged to, you know, provide equal treatment or the proper curriculum to their students. Like, I went to a Jewish school, and the only reason I learned about evolution was because I did biology as an elective.
Well, I understand you wanting to flee, but this is kind of a lateral move, really.
Yeah, actually,
but we already had our Trump. He was the last. Or
yeah, you did, right?
Oh,
climate
no,
change
you
denier.
Did not have a Trump.
Yeah, you can't compare him to Trump.
This is special. We're special with this one.
Yeah, we actually are finally like special.
Yeah, that's what all my friends were asking me. Like, why are you moving there? There's a chance that Trump will win.
Well, then, because you get to move to Canada afterwards.
Yeah, yeah.
And by the way, the Canadian humanists are all ready for us. They're like, please come. With open arms.
I have a feeling.
I don't think
if they were really funny, they'd build a wall.
Yeah,
that's
they
what
would.
I told them. I said, you are building one, right? You're gonna need
and
to.
Make us pay for it. Uh-huh. Thank you, Blythe. Absolutely true. Yeah, I believe this country is put together pretty well. And I think that it could weather whatever happens with this election. I'm not afraid of it.
I
think it's awful, but I'm not afraid of it.
I'm just afraid of the foreign policy part of it. That scares me.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, the only saving grace, that, from my perspective, is that, you know, it's very difficult to get anything done. And
yeah,
and
that's the good thing.
When you have no base within government, you know, it's pretty paralyzing.
Yeah, I hope the down ticket people do. I hope we do get at least, you know, the Senate back or something. So if something crazy happens like Trump, then we'll be able to put some brakes on that stuff.
Oh, but you mean behave like the Republicans?
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
There you go.
Let's just pass that baton back and forth.
Well, we already are.
Getting shit done.
I think that we got Trump because of that behavior. No, and I would hate to see us make those mistakes.
No, I agree, but bad policy is bad policy.
Yeah.
And that's the whole point of the three, you know, things of government, the three arms of government, is that, you know, it's to equalize demagoguery and someone having too much power. And the thing about Obama is, I mean, I believe it's completely racist what's going on with what happened with Obama. Mm. I there has to be thoughtful people making thoughtful policy, and there's nothing about Trump that's thoughtful. So
I'm really interested in what's going to happen with the Supreme Court. I haven't been here for the last couple of months. What's happening with the nomination?
I don't know, but when Trump bangs his daughter, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, right? You mean when the tape comes out?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, if Trump gets elected, what would it take to have him impeached?
You know what I thought of?
Yeah, we'll see.
Well, he'd have to do something to get impeached, but here's what I thought of. I actually woke from a dream where this was happening.
Mm.
I was having this dream. He got elected, and I don't know how I knew the intricate workings of all of this. It was as if I was Zelig, right?
Uh-huh. Okay.
Get the reference?
Yes.
So I'm in the scene somehow, and I don't know how or why, but I'm watching the people who run our industrial complex whisper, don't protect him.
Ooh.
That's what happened in my dream.
Oh, I just got chills.
Right? And then one of the guys, one of the bald guys with a hat and a bunch of stars goes, yeah, problem solved. And cut to in my dream, cut to.
Yeah.
He's down.
Yeah.
And then. So is the vice president in my dream. I don't know how it happened. I'm jumping around in time.
Yes.
And in my stupid ass.
Entire coup d'etat.
I did. And in my stupid ass dream, guess who stepped up, legally speaking, who was next in line. And I don't know how that works. But it was Penn's guy, the libertarian.
Johnson?
Yeah, Johnson. Gary Johnson is next in line somehow, and that's who we ended up with. That's what happened in my dream.
Wow.
Yeah.
Emery?
Yeah.
Did you come? Was this a wet dream?
It was really weird.
That was better than my dream last
really
night.
It was really weird. Well, what happened in your dream, Heather?
Well, I was in a porta potty and some evil guy knocked it over.
Oh!
Oh, she did tell me about this dream.
Yeah.
Oddly,
awful.
It was Trump. Trump pushed the porta potty over.
Well, you two guys are a regular Martin Luther King.
All right, we're gonna take a very brief break right now. We'll be right back. Oh, my God. You're listening to Ardent Atheist, ardentatheist.com, and available at the iTunes Store. More after this intolerable intermission. And now a special announcement.
This is a big super shout out to a few of our listeners. Mom. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Mom.
Sasha Luna. Ben Leaf. Mouse. Kentucky Atheist. Father's Grabby's Elmo Pattern Jizz Rag. Tony from State Farm. Six Ball. My Tits. Trippin' Fool. Kev N. Carl Barrett. Matt. Jehovah Asterix, because it probably said God. Jehovah God.
Oh,
Kyle,
yeah.
Kyle Delaney. Right. Hipster Cheese. And Joe Swam. These were some of the people chatting on the Wall of Reason last week. Thanks for being there, everybody.
I think I'd like to meet Mr. Jizrat.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I bet he's pretty cool. And now back to Ardent Atheist nonsense. You can believe him. We're talking with Kelly Carlin, Paul Provenza, and Shelley Siegel. Thanks for being here, guys.
Pleasure, as
and
always.
Ladies.
An honor.
You're gonna play music, Shelley. Is that
yes,
correct?
Yes, I
at
am.
The, it's what you do.
Yeah, I'm going to play at the Reason Rally. Yeah. I got to play back in 2012.
And are we talking about
pretty
your
amazing?
Are we talking about your big switch? So, like, because you have just arrived here. How long will you be in the States, Shelley?
I'm moving here for good.
Woohoo! Yeah.
How do they do?
Shelley has become my neighbor.
That's what we need. Have more people in show business.
Have you picked a city? Is it this city?
She's literally a few blocks from here.
Oh.
Yeah. Pretty great.
She's a Valley girl. Uh-huh.
See, this is why we got to keep these goddamn immigrants out.
Yeah.
So welcome. I'm glad that you're here.
Thanks. Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Yay.
You want to do a song for us?
I do. This is a tune from my new EP, which is just still being mixed.
What's EP? Is that a British word?
Extended,
I don't know what that means.
Extended play.
Yes. Extended play.
It's not I've heard of that.
It's not quite a single. It's not quite an album. It's somewhere messily in the middle.
Right.
So those things are people, but each track is available on its own, right?
Yeah.
So the whole idea of LPs and EPs and everything sort of gone out the window.
Yeah, it's
it?
Really changing. People don't make an album anymore. It doesn't make sense because people go on iTunes and just pick like a couple of tracks.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you make an EP, you get to at least kind of, you know, 4 or 5 tracks. You at least get to make a little bit of a statement.
Right.
And
have like a vision for something that holds together.
Yeah, and then if, you know, people go and buy 3 out of 4 or 5 songs, you're not missing out too
much.
Yeah.
So. Groovy.
So, this song is about love, and
I have a mic down.
Hello,
there I am.
And sometimes, for whatever reason, religion, race, family, feuds, people like to tell you who you can and can't love, and get in the way of that. And
assholes.
Yeah, I know, counts.
Hate those assholes.
But this song is talking about how you can't help who you love. And it's called Somebody Like You. You say he not right for me, but you don't know him like I know him. You say there's no warmth to him, but you don't see him when we are alone. I can't love somebody like you just because you want me to. No, I can't love somebody like you just because you want me to. Say he only brings me down. Well, you must be up real high to get that view. You say he doesn't love me, but how can you know for sure that you do? I can't. Because you want me to know why. Yeah, I can't love somebody like you just because you want me to.
Nice.
Thank you.
That's so
Emery, cool. Didn't your uncle sing that to you once?
Ouch.
Do you want to that's destroy another, a
that's
moment
a
or what?
That's how I got those scars from the guitar in my back.
Oh, my God.
Oh. Don't fret.
Oh,
boom.
God.
Nice.
Boom.
God damn it. Yeah, I don't know why everybody just doesn't make jokes about it. Somebody should offer a service where you write jokes about someone's molester. That's the solution.
I'm working on that documentary.
Yeah?
I'm working on the Andy Andrus.
You are working on Andy Andrus.
Yeah. I still have to get you in the can because I want your story.
I got it for you. Yeah, I got it for you. Let me know when you want to shoot.
And I'm going to get, what's his name on the phone? Who was your high school bully? What was his
name? Yeah, right? Billy Rothberger.
Billy Rothberger.
His name was Billy.
You had a Jew bully? You don't see that often. Usually they have somebody else come in and bully for
them. I think he was German.
I was going to say he could be German.
Yeah, no, I think he was Nazi, not German.
Oh, Nazi.
Yeah, I mean, not Jewish.
He was a Nazi.
Yeah, he was more
Billy.
More Nazi.
Billy the Nazi. That held him back.
And he lived a nightmare.
Yeah.
Yeah, his family, his everything about it. Man,
like most bullies, right?
Yeah,
I think that's probably
made.
True.
They're not born for the most part. They're made.
Yeah.
Bullies
well,
are.
I don't know. Free will. They're saying free will doesn't exist now.
they're made.
Yeah, I think it's way more complex. You know, the whole idea, Sam Harris's book, and it's more complex than people make it too, by the way, to be clear. But when you read about what Sam Harris wrote and free will, it's butchered, of course. The concept is butchered and taken down to this black and white. The idea that there is no such thing as free will is not what his book necessarily suggests at all. It's very obvious that the free will idea is not just genetics. It's environment as well as the other
absolutely.
Term I think we use.
Yeah, nature and nurture.
Yeah, and therefore, I mean, the computations to get to the bottom of it are, we just don't have the mathematics to do it yet.
So someone was writing, I can't find the article, but I wanted to find it. Someone was writing about the difference between what they call the hard sciences and the soft sciences.
Yeah.
And that the hard sciences in the end are the easier sciences because it is all computational.
Right, right, right.
But the soft sciences are so much more complicated because you're dealing with psyche and environment and brain chemistry and all this interaction.
The whole idea of psychology is always sort of maligned because there's such an artful aspect to it. And it's so complicated.
And I just loved that. And it was like some sort of physicist actually talking about this.
Right,
it was really cool.
I just watched, I'm not going to remember the title of it, but it was a hour and a half documentary about the CERN collider.
Oh, yeah.
If you haven't seen the goddamn thing, check it out. It's fantastic.
When you were saying that, I was thinking about acupuncture, because I just saw an article where there, you know, someone says it's been proven it's just the placebo effect. But so many people, you know, live by acupuncture and say that it helped them.
And I'm highly susceptible to hypnosis and psychosomatic stuff.
Yeah.
And I do acupuncture and it works on me all the time.
Right. So, you know,
what are you going
to
do?
If you're not hurting yourself,
I didn't know it was that easy to sleep
yourself,
with you.
It is.
You know, there is
just
an aspect
a little crystal
to it that,
back and forth, and boom, I'm in.
There is an aspect to acupuncture, much like in chiropractic, there's, you know, sports medicine.
Yeah.
Which is, it's completely physical. It's completely understandable on a
science-based.
Yeah, physics-based, really, and biology-based. It's when you starts to veer off into meridians and all that sort of stuff. And it's the same thing with acupuncture. There are some things that are, in fact, you know, when you stimulate certain nerves and what have you.
It does
have an effect.
But we're not sure where and what those nerves are exactly.
Correct.
No, absolutely.
So, like, you know, in the article it said that, you know, the same thing can happen to you if you poke someone with a toothpick. So, you know, instead of a needle, you're poking someone with a toothpick and they'll have the same effect, maybe.
Right.
So,
Maybe.
So, it's the jury's still out.
It's absolutely agreed.
And the way that our culture kind of accepts it, then people think, oh, they're going to a practitioner and they're going to fix some kind of ailment that they have and maybe prolong the time that they would go to a doctor.
Right.
Yeah,
I'm
a Western Eastern girl. Like, I do everything. Like, if I'm going to take care of myself. He's got underwear that's out down.
I don't
cute?
Think that's where they put the needles.
It's naughty.
Hey, you put your needles where you want them.
It's a free country still.
Do you know where I got this?
Where?
So I'm working on the Aristocrats, and it's just sitting in a pile of other junk over at Paul Prevenza's house. It didn't have the cock thing on the top, and it didn't have the panties. These were added later. But I said to Prevenza, "What are you doing with that?" And he goes, "Selling it to you."
Your name is
right. Didn't even give it to you.
He sold it. And I paid for what you said, what you paid for it, and I gave it to you, and you gave it to me.
Yeah.
Acupuncture doll. Now, I bring this up for a couple of reasons, and I love talking about this because one of the things that when someone says that that what's it called? The effect. The
placebo.
Thanks. When someone says it's just the placebo effect.
It shouldn't be in there. Right, yeah. It's a powerful effect.
There's an effect at work.
And they have
here.
they can't scientifically study it because it is a thing that's like
it's kind of like
autonomous beyond.
It's the same reason that we don't know how a cat purrs, because every time we cut into them, they stop.
Oh my God!
We're going to talk more about this in the premium portion of the show, all right?
If you're on the wall, stay with us because you get to watch the premium portion for free.
That's it for the free hour. This has been the free version of episode 193, another show that went off without a hitch. We miss you, Hitch. We'll be making the full 90 minutes available to our premium subscribers very soon. I want to thank our guests, Kelly Carlin, Paul Provenza, and Shelley Siegel. I also want to thank my co-host and producer, Heather Henderson, and our video switcher, Blythe Renee. Tune in next time when our guest will be
100% less related to George Carlin.
And we'll be talking about
Nothing Else Matters.
That's exactly right. I'm your host, Emery.
And I'm Heather Henderson, our theme music courtesy of the sound editor of The Aristocrats, Eric Wilson. And special thanks for our Wall of Reason moderator, Joseph Carlin Fan Swam.
Where can people find you, Shelley?
ShelleySiegel.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
Shelley is ShelleySiegel.
Okay, good.
.com. Paul Provenza.
Paul Provenza. At Paul Provenza.
It's that easy.
It's that easy.
All right.
If you can't find it just from hearing it phonetically, that's how I weed you out.
And where can people find you,
find
Kelly?
Find me my website, kellycarlin.com, because I'm taking the summer off from social media because I'm tired of all you fuckheads.
Good for you.
You're on anti-social media.
Some characters mentioned on this podcast are completely fictitious, and any resemblance to real persons living or dead is purely wishful thinking. You've been listening to Ardent Atheist. Ardent Atheist is a product of natural selection.